would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to Almost a Podcast, episode 119 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners.
In the new improved Paul Batcave.
We are. We're at my house for a change of location. So the reason is because Barry's house is getting worked on by builders.
Yeah, well, it's not the house.
You rarely hear that.
It's not the house.
Oh, it's not the house now.
Well, it should be the house, but obviously we wanted the garage to do now, so they're doing the garage.
Oh,
so rather than finish off the house.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're just ignoring the gas leak.
Yeah.
And the building inspector's office. Are you really going to carry on packing this? We've got 1 hour to do a podcast. Paul can't do anything. He can't do anything properly. You've got to multitask and give half your attention to whatever job you're doing. So he's bagging up a fucking army that he sold.
Yeah.
As you would.
It's not going to take all the podcast.
It's going to take most of the podcast, no, I thought. So anyway, and you're going to hear that. You can't do that. Hear the sellotape. You can't do it. I'm taking the fucking sellotape away.
Oh, okay. All right. I guess I'm not doing that.
Okay, right. So we need to crack on because my sister's visiting in about an hour. On the way from London back up north.
Uh-huh.
And I said I'd see her have a cup of tea.
Okay.
So you could see the kids. So it's about 1:30, Wednesday the 5th. 75th anniversary of D-Day.
Jesus,
so we got the Trump monster.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? 5th June. Yeah.
It's here today.
Trump's here.
Giving it all the fucking beans.
Lord Trumpington.
Saying that the NHS is up for grabs, then it's not, then it may be. Well, maybe everything's on the table.
Yeah.
That's how we roll.
What does he mean it's on the table? What does he mean?
Well, apparently, from what I understand it, Big Pharma in America don't like the NHS much because it's got like a finite budget for medicines.
Yeah.
And that forces a cap on the price they can get for medicines. In America, people pay a lot more than we do for medicines.
Of course, that's the horrible future, isn't it?
I mean, like, there is no limit to the amount they will charge in America because people are paying on insurance.
You can have diabetes and be bankrupt trying to pay for the insulin that you need to have diabetes.
Or even if you've got health insurance, they can charge the health insurance companies just fucking mythical money. It makes no difference.
Yeah, yeah.
And apparently the NHS forms like a barrier for the rest of the world. Because if the NHS won't pay more than this, then the rest of the world say, well, we're not paying more than this.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So if they can break the NHS's cap on drugs pricing, the world goes fucking nuts, and everybody ends up getting fucking bankrupt trying to fucking afford
drugs.
Trying
to pay for medicine.
So, not so good.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll happen, realistically, because even the fucking Tories. Kill Tory scum.
Kill Tory scum.
There's a big kerfuffle, if people don't know, that a band got banned from, got cancelled of Glastonbury.
Yeah.
Because they had a song about kill Tory scum.
That's not very PC.
But that's what music's all about, isn't it? It's not about being fucking PC.
No, exactly. Like, did the Sex Pistols get, marginalised?
Yes, of course they did. I tell you, they got a lot more hits on their fucking YouTube channel after they got banned. All of them. Right, so, Paul, in Paul's Wide World, it's 2 weeks. The last time we recorded was in the car on the way from Worcester.
And we got two podcasts out of that.
So it's a long-ass time ago.
Yeah, totally. I have, sadly, had a lot of work. I've just recently done 65 hours at work in 6 days. So that's 5 long days with one day's break in between those, which is not fun, basically. Like, it's a bit too much for me.
It's a bit too much for anyone. So Paul now, because I've taken his sellotape off him, he's now found another second job to do. Are you like this with Hannah?
What?
You're always like cooking dinner and doing something.
Yes, I have, yeah.
Looking after the baby and doing something.
Of course, yeah. Of course. I want to use these tonight against Jim, so they've got to be made.
Oh, I forgot Jim was there tonight. Yeah. I wouldn't have cancelled my game. Oh, well. Life's too short. Right, so anyway, so what else have you been doing, apart from working and multitasking? Last week we played Battle of the Five Arms.
The only game I've played is the main topic which we're talking about today. I've just, what have I been doing? Very simple project on the go. I'm getting done all these rings bases, so I can just put mount on bases all the stuff there, so it's ready to use for like future things. And just so I've been working on good forces. So there's in this finished box is all the Minas Tirith guys that are finished, and in that box will be like Fellowship and Thorin's company and Rangers, in fact. You know, like the Rangers of, you know, Rangers of, you know, Aragorn's people, Dúnedain's and stuff.
Dúnedain's.
Like that. Yeah, cool.
Rock stars. All of them fucking rock stars.
Yeah. It's just, well, there is, I mean, I was interested. Dan, yeah, handsome Dan from our club was selling his
Butterfly Dan, I'm going to start calling it.
Butterfly Dan, yeah.
Okay. He's becoming the new Aaron.
The new Aaron. So, he was selling his Mirkwood. Like, no, is it Mirkwood? Rivendell list. Like, and it is like, it's probably one of the best lists.
Come on, man, I ain't playing
it. No. I looked at it and I was like, and he obviously, it was a good deal, it was half price and stuff, but when I looked carefully at all the different things you could do for Minas Tirith and Mordor, I was like, I don't need
another faction that you'll never want to play.
Yeah,
it's like a rag on you for being elves.
Yeah, and also the, if I wanted to play some flavour games, that's where you get your rings and your fellowship or your ring.
Yeah, you got an elf in there. One elf's enough.
Yeah, one elf's enough.
You don't need a fucking army.
I think one is one is plenty.
That's my motto. One elf is one too many.
Yeah, so I think the only other game I've played was a Lord of the Rings game against Eric, where I was my Minas Tirith guys went against his Easterlings, and he played the scenario far better than me.
Do you have the big lump elephant thing?
No. So this is the evil men of Mordor. Yeah, the guys who march in phalanxes. Remember there, you know.
The masks, gold masks.
Gold masks, guys, yeah. He played the scenario much better than me, but ultimately I had Boromir, a captain of the White Tower.
He just
killed everything, basically. Like, anything that was put against him, he chopped down pretty fast. Yeah, like, I used my Minas Tirith armies, with a few practice games. Yeah, that's getting quite good. Quite good. It is hero heavy, but as I then expand more options into them, I can like not take so many characters and take more men, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's
quite a time for you. And I've been playing DBA.
DBA, yeah. Explain that.
So DBA came out in the early 90s, I think,
mm-hmm.
as a spin-off of like some really old man war game stuff.
Yeah.
Like really beardy, longy beardy stuff.
Yeah.
So, but then when I started playing it, there are quite a lot of similarities between this game and.
It looks like an old GCSE textbook. Yeah, like
it. So, there's not that many pages of the rules.
God, look at it!
So, this is the third edition.
How many languages is that in? Is that just all.
It's not even in English.
That's not even English.
No, it is English, but it's not written in English. Right, it's written in fucking computer code or something.
Look at the picture on the front. It's a Roman just thoroughly confused.
He's trying to read this shit. Yeah. So this is the third generation, and it's supposed to have been made simpler, and it really fucking hasn't.
That simple? Oh, my God.
It's like really old school, but fuck, it's just fucking horrific.
Oh, my God. Right, so what we're looking at here is a textbook, basically.
Yeah, a textbook, like an exercise book.
Yeah, an exercise. It looks like a maths textbook.
And the every time I look at a fucking picture, a figure, of which there are fucking pages and pages, I get more confused because they don't mean anything.
It blurs into one, doesn't it?
It's just fucking awful.
Wow. I mean,
Jim would struggle with this, I'm telling
people
you.
People moan about, like, oh, this rule book, but like, compare that to four pages of Age of Sigmar.
Thank you. So I've played about four games now of this.
Yeah.
And it's nice that you play.
Hang on, who are you playing?
A guy called Gary. I don't know if you've met him or not. He's been down the club a couple of times. Warmaster player. Regular listener.
Who are you cheating on me with?
Local listener. We've played before. I played Warmaster against him.
Right, Caden. Alright.
So, it's nice playing something historical.
Yeah, of course.
And it's nice that it's only 12 bases. Each army's 12 bases, which is a really weird thing.
What? You can't not be 12 bases. You have to be 12
bases. So, how the armies are balanced is your access to different types of base, different types of units.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, maybe the Romans have lots of blades, like elite infantry, or maybe somebody else has a lot of horse, or some people might have access to artillery.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only over 12 bases, and if you lose four bases, you lose.
So even a third of your army you've got.
That's it.
Wow.
Four bases.
Mm. Okay.
So it's like an hour of a game, played on a 2x2 table.
Yeah.
I wish I could recommend it more.
Mm.
But I think I'm English. I speak English, or try to.
Yeah.
And I can't fucking fathom out this book. So fuck knows what it's like for somebody who doesn't...
Yeah.
English isn't your first language.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous, this book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. So, I mean, so
it's something I play. So but already have an arm.
It sounds like a game that is best when somebody else is teaching you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even try to learn it without somebody else at least knowing part of the rules.
Yeah. Okay.
I could kind of fall back on when I played 15 years ago, so I knew some of the rules.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, some of it's really just fucking weird, and you just can't work out why it's been written that way.
Okay.
But it is.
Yeah.
And the guy who wrote the rules is really kind of defensive over the rules, so he won't allow any check. These are the fucking rules.
Yeah.
Don't bother telling me about fucking errata and stuff. This is the rules. Shut the fuck up.
Fair enough. Well, sorry.
But if you do want to look at it, you get it on Lulu for about 15 quid. That's quite an interesting business model, that. So they, instead of producing books to sell, they just sell them from Lulu.
Yeah.
So you pay like 15 quid and they post you the book.
Fair enough. Yeah.
And then they get whatever wedge they got for writing the book.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was nice enough. It scratched an itch. I'm not sure the itch is there much longer.
Okay.
But I'm glad I haven't bought any more armies for it.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I mean, I would try it with you, Barry, but I would, you know...
I'd hate to be the one to try to teach it to you. You'd be looking and go, oh my God.
Yeah, what?
But some of the interesting things, like the base, the way the bases move is very very War Master.
Okay.
So, like brigades, instead of ordering a stand, you roll d6 and that's how many orders you get per turn.
Yeah, yeah.
And then stuff that's in a brigade, you can move the brigade as one order.
Yeah, okay. How big can a brigade be?
As big as it is.
So you can have one brigade.
Yeah, and there's a command radius from your general.
Yeah, that's all very, it's all very War Master. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The way they move, you just move the furthest corner.
Yeah, and then everybody else,
So I think you can't patent game mechanics. I'm sure Rick's had access to this in the past, or seen it being played DVA, DVM, whatever. So we can take bits of this and accommodate it into a more fantasy kind of game.
Yeah.
War Master is definitely a better game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's way easier to play.
Yeah.
Which is, Anyway, I've played two lots of that, so that's all I've been doing.
All
right. But it's nice. It's nice. Right, what's next on the list, fella? Week in War Master.
The Week in War Master. I have had a few interesting purchases. I picked up Jim had some tokens that he used up in Worcester that he got made especially, and I made the same order basically. I contact from what was it called base somebody war bases
war bases
and I just messaged them and said, hi, can you give me the same stuff that Jim has done, and they did.
Don't reinvent the wheel, just reproduce that wheel.
So what I'm just doing here is it's all just very 4x2 tokens with like things like retreating or confused or -1 command written on them.
Nice.
Etched in, and I've painted the writing and then just have to rub off the paint, and it makes it pop out a lot more. Yeah, which
do a similar effect with wax crayon.
You could do, but it's like that worked really well.
Because
the writing was hard to read because it wasn't really that well properly coloured. But that's just quite simple to do.
Nice.
So that will replace my like gaming set of tokens for War Master, because that will just make things really even clearer. Then, you could say, do you really need them? No, you don't.
No, you don't.
But,
for sure.
I like tokens.
It's a good. Everybody loves tokens.
I like tokens.
Tokens and dice. The world is full
always
of tokens.
Always when I'm at an event, if I see someone with a good idea and it's better than what I currently use, I'll be like, I'll use that.
Let's do this.
Also, I've gotten this, come in. So this unit of Dark Elf Spearmen, I've come in. This store.
I talk about these online?
Yeah. Well, just saying. So I've gotten these from Italy, bought through eBay. And
we've talked about these many times.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
How much though?
So the unit was £7. Was it? The unit was £9 something. The postage was £7, and there wasn't. If you bought multiple things, they didn't like everything had to be posted. Same price of postage. They wouldn't combine posting. But there you go.
GW Recas.
Well, they clearly are. So
but these were the guys that were charging €35 for a unit.
They were, but. They're not at the moment.
Okay, that would make a big difference to the game. Because the community was saying, like, oh, you can fucking sell recast if you have to. You can't charge 40 fucking euros for a unit.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not sculpting them or anything.
Yeah, I mean, because the list I'm using against Jim tonight is Dark Elves. And for it, I wanted one more unit of Spearmen. And I went on eBay, to see if there was anything. I would proxy something in if I had to, but then I saw this unit and was like, okay, cool, all right. I mean, I don't, personally, I don't mind buying recast stuff. I mean, it wasn't written anywhere, advertised as recast, but it clearly is. Because I have undercoated them, because Simon did the painting of that army, so it's, yeah.
Simon,
Brown. Yeah, so I've prepped them. But it's, they're nice quality. I mean, they're come out as good quality.
Yeah, he's a very good recast puller.
Yeah.
Yeah, the issue was never the recasting in itself. I mean, it's weird, isn't it? Because they're quite open with the logos
that's the
and
thing.
Stuff.
It's like, and that's why I wanted to bring.
It can't be. Cannot be anything but a recast.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's why I brought your attention to it, because they're not hiding the fact. Like, they're not hiding what they're selling.
Yeah, but some of this stuff isn't recastable, really, is it?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like war, well, they, yeah, bolt action stuff. That's fucking plastics, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I don't know. It's weird.
Maybe trading rules are different in Italy.
Maybe. Maybe you go see Don Corleone.
makes you an offer you can't refuse.
Tell it to my boot.
Yeah, exactly.
While I'm kicking you down the street.
Exactly. I like that phrase. And so I picked up them, and the other thing was my Joan of Arc. Has your Joan of Arc
arrived? No, sir. Just keep rubbing it in.
Oh, okay.
Janus is obviously A1 priority.
Yeah, I'm B-level backer.
B-level.
Poor Northerners are Ds.
I looked into it. Apparently, it was ready for shipping on the 27th of March, whatever that means.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it being shipped by a
from Holland.
From Holland. On the sea.
Yeah. Yeah, yours got washed up, on the coast.
I also think maybe buying even two sets is probably too much.
Oh, God, yeah, yeah. I mean, like, we made an error there, but never mind. I had a quick look. I mean, it came in this massive box that Hayes was enjoyed playing in, so that's something at least. Yeah, it's all upstairs in the loft, and yeah, the models are nice. It's all this hard plastic stuff. Obviously, scale wise, it's like they're too big for Warmaster. You know, but if you had to use them as an army, why not? And also because you can play. Yeah, in a recent event, a guy uses 6mm scale models.
Fucking beer mats for me.
Exactly. But that the buildings will look looked really good. And they're like, ooh, this is nice, yeah. So at some point, Barry, we'll have to plan off. I'll read up how to play it, and we'll have to set.
Well, it has to be painted, won't it?
Well, we'll have to play a game with Joan of Arc. Maybe with contrast paint, I'll paint it. Who knows?
Panic, because I was told it's more than £5 a tub.
I don't know, but it's like
this is it's not house paint. It's looking like a litre
so
ball.
This is GW's new range of paint, alongside what they've already got. They're not getting rid of anything, they're adding to their paint range. And it's an interesting idea. It's paint that shades and highlights itself, the way it dries.
Called a wash or something.
Well, no, but it's
like
not.
A thick
no,
wash
no,
or
yeah,
something.
I think essentially
a thick,
that's
wash.
What you would say it is. But it's the effects look good, I think. Yeah, from what they've shown. I mean, I'll see.
I'm sure if you do that zenith highlighting on your basing, so you do like your three colour basing working from black to white, I'm sure it'll look.
Yeah.
Bonza.
I think so. Yeah.
Bonza.
And that's cool. And I like the idea of that they want to make painting more accessible, because a lot of people don't really paint at all.
Really? I've never met these people.
And this could be a way for them to actually paint something. Because it's low, very low skill level, stuff. You know, just apply. If you've got an ultramarine, paint him with the blue stuff. It'll do all
over
the
what? White.
Over white a white. Over white. And it'll do all the blue armour for you. And that's like the model mostly done.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But I have heard it's pretty pricey stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, sure, but like if
because you can still go for yellow or whatever.
Well, yeah, yeah, but like
£2 a pound.
But if it does what it's advertising it does, it's like very quick on time. Yeah, you could.
Well, not as quick as not painting.
Well, not as quick as not painting, no.
I'll tell you, that's very quick on time.
Oh, you're outrageous.
I do building.
Yeah, yeah.
I build something for tonight and I might not even play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I built it. Spent half an hour painting. I mean, what's the minute?
What did you build?
Oh, like a dwarf ballista.
Oh, okay.
To try and kill a mummock.
Good luck.
I've got to do something on dwarves. Look at the size of that fucking
thing. It's going to stand on me.
You wouldn't even notice, would it?
Yeah, no.
Right. So the two things we can warm us up. Dancing Yak, they're going MC fucking Nutsville.
So there is currently a Kickstarter going around for a Chaos Dwarf army. Which is 28mm and scaled down to 10mm. It's not currently funded as yet, but it's close. It's within. It's pushed 6k when it needs 7k.
Okay.
So it's close to being funded. And, yeah, I personally...
Well, this sounds like they actually wanted 7K in funding. So they should have asked for 3.
Yeah.
Whatever. And so, then doubled it up.
Yeah. Bit. I mean, I haven't backed it yet. I mean, because the Kickstarter is a little confusing to understand. But I would... Well, it intrigues me enough. I'd like... Basically, I'd just like to see something of theirs for real, you know?
Well,
like,
I think this is my big issue. And I talked about it with the Skaven fella that's doing a similar deal for Skaven.
Yeah.
Like 3D sculpted and then printed in resin and then then eventually going to be cast in metal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, until I see like one of these figures actually in the flesh,
yeah.
Then I've got no idea what they're going to look. Yeah, exactly. I'm sure they're going to work at 28mm, because 28mm is fucking huge.
Yeah, why wouldn't they work at 28mm? Yeah.
They're sculpted for 28mm and then shrunk down to 10mm.
Yeah. Exactly.
The difference in scale between 10mm and 28mm is just ridiculous.
It's massive, yeah. Exactly. And some things just won't look right, vice versa.
They won't don't know how much detail it's going to hold. I don't know how it's going to work, the process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's. I mean, they look fun. Even when they're 3D printed, they're going to have virtually the same amount of detail as the 28mm, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not 3D printing them, are you? You're then casting them.
Being cast, yeah. It's intriguing. It's like I want it to fund. I want it to be a thing. But you know, it's like I'm like yourself. It's like I need to see someone with it in their hands first.
Well, I don't know if any. Yeah, it's like Mr. So the Skaven guy I'm talking to. I forgot his fucking name now. I'm so bad with names. He's gonna kickstart.
Yeah.
After the summer, but he's not kickstarting until he's seen the metal miniatures in his hands.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is even though like. So we had to stitch that together due to a technical hitch.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck knows what I was talking.
We're talking about this Kickstarter.
Yeah. So maybe they will show us before the end, like some actually finished miniatures.
Yeah.
Because Warmonger are getting in bed with them to do another range after this range.
Oh right, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's some Chinese.
Okay.
Yep. Again, they're sculpted to look fucking nuts.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we'll have to wait and see. If this stuff takes off, I don't know what the future will be for normal sculpting. We'll have to wait and see.
Who knows?
I mean, the speed, you see the speed that people knock stuff out on this 3D sculpting. It's fucking nuts.
Well, exactly. I mean, and then it's, you know, it's saved and it's there for like at a couple of years ago you know, Steam Forges.
Yeah, Russ, wasn't it?
Yeah, like he did one in a day, like off the back of like people giving him ideas in that seminar.
So this is where the real magic happens. Yeah. It's like, if you sculpt, say you sculpt a rat man, so you've got the basic anatomy of a rat man, then you can just play around a little bit and make another sculpt, and then play around a little bit more, make another sculpt.
Yeah.
And with every Refugee. 5 minutes, you can make a different sculpt. Yeah. All you do is like you move a bow this way, put this arm up here, change the face a little bit, another sculpt.
Once you've done
the anatomy work, which might take a while, admittedly, then you can knock stuff out like there's no fucking tomorrow.
Exactly, and that's what the guy was doing, is he took when the model was decided which model it was going to be, he took the current sculpt of them and then started playing around with it. You know, like, as in changing up the... So the anatomy of that player was already there.
Yeah.
You know, and he's then just, as a wire, and then he's just changing how she looks. You know, like, oh, I need to make her have a detail here and change what she's holding and... There you go. And so, and that's the thing, is it's like, to the skilled user, they have like set things saved on file, don't they? Or I need to give them, say you're like, oh, I need to give them a crooked sword. Oh, I'll just use one of the 5 pre-milled designs I already have and just put it into the model.
Yeah, or I need a 10mm human. Here's one.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's in chainmail, here's that.
Yeah, just put them in chainmail,
yeah. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, anyway, amazing. Well, the future's scary.
Well, I've been watching this program. We watched a lot of this program last night called Years and Years, which is like...
Oh, I can't watch that, but I know the program.
You know what it is? Where it's essentially like us skipping, you know, our society skipping forward 20, 30 years over what changes. And it is just like, well, you just have to, like, who knows the future? You have to, like, you know, embrace it, but, you know, and be common sense of it. Like, I wouldn't embed a phone in my hand, you know, so I can make a phone call with my hand. But
why would you embed it in your hand?
Well, like chips under the your little finger and your thumb.
Well, why would you have a phone that worked like that anymore?
Well, as I say, I mean, but that's one of the characters, one of the
I can understand. It's just like students sitting around getting stoned and coming up with crap. If you could think of it, it's probably that's not the way it's going to evolve.
Yeah,
you'll just think.
Yeah.
And that will be the phone call. You won't have to fucking
hold
your finger
my
up.
My point, ringing. My point was is that some technology you embrace it, and some people wouldn't. You know, go with that. I mean, because it's you know, that 3D way does give a certain look to it, doesn't it? Well,
uniformity.
Like, yeah, because... but like somebody sculpting things by hand in more old school, original way gives another look.
Yeah,
it?
Organic look.
Yeah. So
no two models are ever the same because they really are not the same.
Because they're not the same. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They start from a different ball of clay or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're very different. And then the 3D printed Skaven. This is a completely different thing. This fella's just sticking them up on Shapeways.
Yeah.
So he's like designing them for his own love. He likes Skaven.
Yeah.
So he's just designing Skaven. And then if you've got a 3D printer, I guess you could be printing them alongside him as he's printing them.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, that is, again, very interesting because it's like there's certainly. And like he was putting up things like Hell Pit Abomination, and you were like, "There's no rules for that in the game, nor does there need to be. You could just use it as a Doom Wheel."
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like there you go. He's got like a a little Hell Pit Abomination printed up, and it's like it's cool. It's just like.
I mean, obviously, this guy's not doing this as a profession, so maybe they're not the same quality of dancing yet. But then you can just go and print them.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like we were talking about earlier, those Kickstarters that were scenery that you just bought, you backed, and then it instantly comes, you get the files to
put into
your printer, and you're just printing off scenery at home. And I was wondering, well, how do you cap how many times you can print it and stuff like that? Yeah,
well, they don't. You have to buy a different license to sell it.
Yeah, but it's who regulates the thing. But it's but that's the point, isn't it? Is that you can. You know, on this Shapeways site, if you have a 3D printer, you're just buying the right to print the thing at your own house.
Yeah. So, Paul, now, without the sellotape, because I've paid the sellotape, so now he's pre-packaging the stuff in little, what would they be, little pancake wrappers, though.
Yeah. What's wrong with that? It's not making any noise.
Tortillas or something, wrapping them up.
Yeah.
I just love it. I love it. Right, so, that's the Week of Warmaster.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
Right, so we're talking about Battle of Five Armies, fella.
Yes, we did. So me and Barry, I bugged Barry for a game of this.
You did?
Yeah.
Took
a bit of chasing.
It did.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Not least of which was because I knew how much work there was in going to build it all this
past. So Barry has a tendency to go dark on his comms. Doesn't want to answer a question.
Is that like silent?
It just like goes off like beep. Because I very don't want to answer that. You know, like beep, beep, beep. He'll come back to me when he wants to. Yeah, when he wants to talk about something else. I notice.
So I have two sets of this Battle of Five Armies.
So this is
2003.
No, maybe later.
2004.
Yeah. So and it is. It's the War Master take on the set piece, the big battle of the Hobbit, where you have the army, well, they call them the armies of goblins and wargs versus elves, men and dwarves. And I was really quite impressed by it, actually. In terms of, now, I looked on YouTube over what there was there. There's a poor report, like, by, really to the point of unwatchable report on there. There's nothing good about, as in well done, on YouTube about Battle of the Five Armies. I didn't find anything. I thought that was decent. You know, there's some certain kinds, because obviously this is all plastic models. So that's War Master was all metal models and this was plastic. So and they've done one sculpt for the units. So it lacks the, now you could chop them up a bit, couldn't you? Like you could try to make them like pose a little different. But they are in there when they're in the units. The models, like the characters, I thought the characters look really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the units are the repeated model the same. And like, yeah.
So this is now going back how many? 15 years.
Yeah.
If they redid this now,
it would be in plastic because
it would be just like this in plastic,
yeah.
Hard plastic probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the amount of detail on these sculpts would be completely
different, and they probably would have different. They wouldn't have a one uniform pose that was then copied out. I don't think
so. There was no command.
No. There's no units with banners. There's no
differentiation between the front rank and the back rank.
No.
It's basically our unit is six ranks of the same miniature.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And like elves with spears, men with spears are quite difficult to tell apart from.
They
the
came in coloured plastic. I mean, maybe it was one of the earlier things they did in coloured plastic. But to give you some idea of what.
I mean, from the backs, you could tell because they had one of them had cloaks and one of them didn't. But from the front, everything looks a bit samey.
Yeah.
I mean, the good stuff's in brown, the bad stuff's in grey.
Yeah.
The bad stuff was just, like, a lot. Like, 8 units of goblins.
Yeah.
And 4 units of wargs,
yeah.
Which are basically...
Chaos hounds, yeah.
Yeah, and 4 units of wolf riders.
So, but
the men, what did the men have? They had a unit of...
So they had a unit of infantry, a unit of archers.
So halberdiers and crossbows, effectively.
Yeah, yeah.
They had a unit of dwarves.
Dwarf warriors. And then the
elves. Two units of dwarf warriors. And then the elves.
The rock stars were the elves. Yeah.
Well, I didn't really like them. Wankers. So elf spears, elf bows.
Two each.
And there's some eagles and a bear.
Now the eagle unit is, they look great. Like, so they look far better than the original metal eagles. Yeah, done in Warmaster. I personally really like that unit. Look at that elf unit.
But then they chose to redo it in metal.
Yeah, which is strange. the box also came with a scenery, two pieces of hard plastic hills, which you need for the scenario, and a very nice card river, which you need for the scenario. And these ruins, I thought these ruins also look really cool. You could make up scenery pieces out of them. Yeah. So as a box set, like. This rocks actually.
I think if you want, we'll talk about it later. If you want to know how much this stuff is worth, Christopher Orr does a really good bit on the trade.
Yes.
The Warmaster Trade Group, a price list of everything.
Yeah.
I think I picked mine up for between £80 and £90 a box. So I got two of them.
Yeah.
We intended to play with more than one box, but then we decided because it wasn't built.
So check this out. So we rock up to the club.
We don't rock up. Right, well, I rock up first. You're late.
I told you when I was going to be there.
I was there when you said you were going to be there.
Anyway. And I'm like, right, here we are, Barry. Oh, Barry hasn't built a thing. It's all still
on the
sprues.
I built a few little bits. The ones I bought off Lex were built.
So we had to, first of all, we had to sit down there and build the components of the
game. Some of them. The elves, the eagles didn't build very well.
No, because they need gluing, really. Yeah, like, because the bases have little holes in them and the models have little holes, so they don't theoretically need glue to build them. So that was quite fun.
Some of the interesting things about the game, though, were... Even though it was only 4 years later than Warmaster, the rules have changed.
Yeah, the rules have changed. Yeah, definitely. And some which had all the changes are still incorporated into Revolution, but they had changed. It was like big one I saw was flyers visibility.
Yeah,
it was 60. They said that the visibility of the game is 60 centimeters.
No, there was charge 60, move 100, wasn't it?
Wouldn't it be because you can only charge what you can see, and things can only see 60 centimetres.
Okay.
So that's, that was a big difference. That was like, oh, hang on, that is quite different from the original rule set.
They made elves, not that there were many elves in the game, but they made them really, really good, but fragile.
Really good.
Like, elves get +1 to hit on the first round of combat, not just with bows.
No.
So if I charge,
you hit on threes.
12 attacks hitting on threes, oh my god, they were good.
Didn't seem to pay much points for that either.
No, they didn't, but they lost their armour.
They got unique magic items in there, because clearly, obviously, the Ring of Invisibility, it's called, is in there. It's page 65. Yeah, so it had a bunch of unique magic items. And the way there were the two army lists, you chose a general. Like, obviously, the narrative scenario has set forces,
which we'll talk about.
But in the kind of the this is an early runner really of how they developed their games now. So in the advanced rules, it has choosing an army, and there's only two army lists, good and evil, and you choose a general. One of your heroes to be a general, or characters to be a general, and it improves their stats. And it's a free. There's no points to do that.
I will say, for all the Albion, which there aren't many players, and Chaos, including fucking Beastmen, players out there. It's a good job I didn't see this army list before we rewrote the army list for Warmaster Revolution. Because how much are Chaos Hounds in this?
What, in Revolution?
Well, in Warmaster they were 30 points. Yes. In this edition?
They're 60.
60 points,
yeah. Oh, they doubled them.
They doubled them. Because they realised how obnoxiously
when
you get in the flank with a 30-point unit that's doing 12 attacks and you're taking no attacks back.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, like,
they're 60 points here. We made them 40. I think they're still fucking bad. Yeah, well, 40 is what it is.
40 is what it is. 40 is what it is.
Could you imagine the 60?
Yeah.
I mean, Halberdiers are still 45 points in this.
Yeah.
And they're not.
Other stuff
didn't change.
So there's a massive change there.
Massive change.
I mean, I don't.
Eagles are slightly more expensive.
Yeah, I don't understand where, like, the points for elves in this seem a bit wrong because that's a really good buff they get and they don't seem to pay much points.
But they've got no armour now.
They have no armour, yeah. Yeah, so, well, I suppose they're only 6 up armour.
Well, they are 10 points cheaper. Because I think they're 60 points. They're 3-3-5.
Yeah, 3-3-6 here. Mm-hmm.
But they hit on 3s in the first round
of combat,
including on advances.
Which is very nice. so what we did was we played the game as rules is written. And we played it with...
Well, apart from when we cheated, but it says don't worry about that.
It says
there's a lot going on. First time you play it, just play it and don't worry about cheating.
But, well, I misinterpreted something that benefited you.
Massively.
So, like, never mind. and we used the set forces as well. Because, I wanted to use everything, but I had to build it, didn't we? You know, like,
how it worked is it's the components of one box.
Yeah.
Absolutely everything. Yeah. Including some really silly rule where you couldn't use Thorin. Because he was behind a wall.
Yes.
Until he knocked down a wall by rolling an 8.
Yeah, when he comes out. And why wouldn't you do that? You know, like,
I don't know, and then he can come out.
Yeah, I really like the scenario. I thought the scenario was well written, considering the components of the game. And what it is you have a river that bisects the table.
Yeah, lengthways.
It has one crossing point, and the river is impassable to anything but side flyers. On one flank of the river, men and dwarves set up. On the other flank, elves set up. Even tells you where the characters have to go. And then the evil army comes in two waves of all its cavalry first, and then all its infantry. And once everything's on the table, it's a regular game with some other unique rules in that the goblins are springing ambushes on the rocks, which when the eagles turn up, they counter and they get rid of.
Okay, so... Mm-hmm. You're set up on two sides,
so
both on hills.
We flipped a coin, and I got the evil, so I'm playing Bolg with his goblins.
Okay, so I'm on the hills with my elves on one side, and my dwarves and humans on the other.
Yeah.
Each turn, these
nasty goblins
are throwing down rocks.
Doing 3 shooting attacks, which hit on 4s because they're higher up. And then the drive back, it's vague where the drive back is.
I think it pushes you off the hill.
But it pushes you, men push you off the hill.
To let you get attacked.
Yeah, exactly. And because... Really, the hills are defended positions. There's no turn limit. You play until one army's broken or the general's dead. I mean, it would take you're asking a lot for the goblins to beat defended dwarves or elves.
Who are outnumbered by 50%.
Yeah,
Well, not quite 50%.
The points aren't even.
I think it's 11-20 for good and 8-8-5 for evil.
Exactly. Now, all of this... both of us looked at this... And we're like, well, surely the goblins can't win, you know. And it'll be a case of you play one game and see how much they did, then you play another game and see if the other person does any better.
Right.
Yeah.
Because why would I come off the hill?
No, there's no reason to do it. You know, like.
And your infantry and cavalry are shit fighting against me on the hill.
Yeah, exactly. So that little ambushing thing gives like, okay, so if you drove back a unit off the hill, then theoretically, then you might be able to. Beat them when they piecemeal. But, unless that has happened, there's really no reason to come off the hill unless the good player just wants to do it for laughs. Because the point is, there's several ways you could try to play this scenario on both sides, I can see. But you couldn't have this kind of... You wouldn't want this kind of scenery set up, I don't think, on a regular game in a tournament.
No.
Because it would be too... Hang on, that's too... It's too narrative. You know, like, some armies wouldn't work with it, you know, in Warmaster. But I like that with this narrative... It makes it interesting. Like, it was very important to control that ford to link up your armies.
Which was halfway down the table.
Halfway down the table.
And once Paul got that ford...
Yeah.
he structured it so he had, like, effectively a unit bridging the Ford, but there was only one stand could be attacked, and it had three support.
Yeah.
I mean, admittedly, they're goblins.
Yeah, they're not the best things I've got.
So he split off the elves. Yeah. And, like, kept them out of the game, and then went after the humans and dwarves.
Well, because you only need to, the good side only needs to lose four units to be broken, because it doesn't count the eagles or Bjorn, because they're not on the table to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not quite 50% of their units. Now, either flank has four units. Both units have four units.
Once the eagles come on, it did count them.
Oh, yeah, they didn't have to be that way. So, like, I realised, well, I don't actually have to attack both flanks, as long as I, because that's the, if Barry wasn't going to come forward in this time, and if I was to play it good, I might try something different. But I was like, well, I can then dictate everything onto one flank, and you know, and I got lucky with some of the you know, the ambush rolls, is in terms of the attacks to drive people off, and that opened up some,
and actually killed a unit.
Yeah, I rolled three fours on, like, for one of them. It was like, oh, that's brilliant. That's actually caused casualties, not only just drive backs. Yeah, and now both armies had a general of commanding nine, and then some heroes commanding eight. I really noticed the half-paced movement. Like, yeah, because some turns, I think both of us, isn't it? Like, we both failed our orders, like, and nothing moved. Like, as in, I certainly remember our turns where nothing moved at all, and you had turns where nothing moved. Yeah, like,
I would just issue one order, because everything else was fighting, wasn't it?
So,
the game pivoted on the eagles coming. Up until the eagles were coming, I was in real trouble, because I was getting, you attack both hills with your ambushes, push me off as a minimum, generally.
Yeah, the advantages to the goblins.
And then every turn, you roll, and if you roll a six, you can bring on Bjorn or the eagles.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
that roll gets better as you take casualties.
Every unit gets a plus
one.
Mm-hmm. I mean, spoiler alert, Bjorn didn't come on for ages. The eagles came on, got rid of the ambushers, which is good.
And they do automatic, because they just shut it down. Yeah.
But then they didn't achieve a great deal in the game, apart from getting rid of the ambushers. Bjorn didn't come on until the game was over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately, lazy. Fat, yeah, he drunken
didn't
bear.
Make combat, did he?
No.
No, he never
drunken
made combat.
Drunken bear.
Yeah, what tale of the game, then? So, basically, I saw the men. Or the two
Phil years. Was playing the humans and dwarves.
Yeah. So, like,
so you were fighting Phil while I was watching, basically.
We had, that was quite cool, because we had another club member who needed a game to play, and he plays Warmaster, and we're like, Phil, come and join us. It's War. You can't get it wrong, it's Warmaster. You know, so I was concentrating on the good players' left flanks, so the dwarves and men. I didn't know how I was going to beat the dwarves, to be honest, but I was like,
numbers maybe. Flank attack.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, this is original War Master, so it can be really punishing if I get them in the flanks. But the men were easier targets by far, so those two units needed to go, and then I need to find two units from something.
Well, you got the eagles.
Yeah, as I say, like, my eagles might be one of them if I can catch them. The goblins do have numbers, if nothing else. So I did send waves of troops and, like, into them, and I managed to get the 330 like cavalry that I have, they're built to take people's flanks.
Oh, man, they hurt in the flank.
No, that's worth trying to do. Because in this original, War Master with slight amendments rule set, there's no minimum, minimum one dice at all. There's any amount, as many round of combats as you want to go. So, like, it really harsh.
So if you get a dwarf unit in the flank just once with those, you're doing 12 attacks.
You should get six. You should do three wounds.
Three wounds, okay. And coming back?
Two attacks.
One wound.
Yeah.
Next round,
three wounds, yeah.
So now you're a standard and a half down.
Yeah.
And you've done two wounds.
Yeah.
And then third round.
Keep going, yeah.
Yeah. You might lose a stand, but eventually, your 30-point unit is going to eat that.
Yeah, it will. A 110-point dwarf unit. Now, that's not counting any characters or anything, any other additional, like, factors to it. But, yeah, you're right.
But that's what won the game, being able to flank charge.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you couldn't take them on in the front, realistically.
God, no. I mean, I did surround one dwarf unit. I did surround and caught them that way. I won the game by getting the two men units, one dwarf unit and the eagles. That's how I won. But the last roll that I saw was the other dwarf unit.
Oh, you got both dwarf units. There's a stand of eagles running around.
There's a single stand of eagles, so there's no half points. So single stat. I didn't catch them, but the it finished with a unit of dwarves fighting a unit of goblins. That we're both down to the last breakpoint needed left to go.
Well, in fact, Thorin and two stands went into a unit, killed the unit, then went into another unit as a single stand, and took some shots, took a shot on the way in, and then he died, leaving one wound on the whole unit of goblins.
So he got
he took 8 of the 9 wounds.
So it was it finished that I'd won the game as goblins, and it pretty much as close as it's possible to get, really. Like, I've taken one more wound on a unit that has no save, I'd have lost the game. And,
or if Phil could ever roll
armor saves. I was, I did not expect to win that game. But then again, I did feel starting it. I was like, I've got the goblins. I'm not meant to win this fight. They didn't historically win this fight, story-wise, and I thought the scenario would allow them to win anyway. But yeah, it's cool. I mean,
so I missed.
Yeah.
Having played this, I missed the ability to shoot off support.
Yes.
Because that was fantastic. When Paul had set up and he'd blocked the ford.
Yeah.
In Revolution.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I could have got across that ford.
Because
you'd have been attacking. Say I could only put one stand in because of the way you were.
Yeah.
Because there was only one stand wide.
One stand
the
wide, yeah.
So you, as a minimum, you shoot me 3 times on the way in.
Bing,
you've got 6 attacks because I'm corner to corner. With 3 support.
Yeah.
And at best, I've got one unit going in attacking with 4 attacks.
Yeah.
With one support.
Yeah.
And you go like, how do I get past this?
Bjorn.
I didn't have Bjorn. But it would have to be.
But that would be Bjorn because he would only attack one. He would only have one stand fighting him back. It would be Terrid.
Yeah.
So
it would
be one attack coming
3
back.
Three support. Yeah.
But Bjorn should be able to do enough damage.
So what I was able to do is pull some archers off, shoot the support off, because, and then you're through.
Then you're through. Then, yeah, exactly.
And that used to be a fantastic tactic for, like, light cavalry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, supporting the infantry, supporting the other cavalry. Shoot the fucking support off the infantry and just ride them down.
Yeah, exactly. It was very interesting to try this because it was like taking a step back a few years in some ways in terms of like so this is the original War Master I was really impressed by how nicely the scenario held together. Actually, I thought it was actually
mid game. It only held together because Gandalf the spell he didn't have.
So I misread Gandalf's spell deck and gave him much better spell.
The fireball, the line.
Yeah,
he hit it like 5 turns.
Oh,
on the
back. My God.
It was just melting stuff like turn after turn.
Yeah, yeah. So which he didn't have that spell actually.
was doing damage.
So I gave Barry a big advantage there, and because you wouldn't think it would matter. Oh, it does when Gandalf's like hitting 4 or 5 units of goblins on this thing. And just causing so much confusion, and it was like he was man of the match.
He was definitely man of the match.
Good old Gandalf.
Gandalf the Grey. Grey at this point.
He's good. If only if you wanted it more, he could have like saved the Middle Earth. But I would like to play it again using everything you've got personally. Now, I don't think it would matter. We don't have to get it pointed fairly because this isn't pointed fairly. Just put everything you've got on the table.
Everything. Everything.
Doesn't matter. Like, because they made a lovely sculpt of Smaug for this game.
I don't have him.
Yeah, but you don't have. But they made a lovely sculpt of him. But then there's Storm Giants, Hill Trolls, Gigantic Bats, Spiders of Mirkwood, Elven Cavalry. Yeah, you should have some of that.
I've got some.
Goblin Guard, and some Dwarf Archers. I don't really know why you would have Dwarf Archers.
I've got some of those as well.
You should, why not? Forget the points, just throw it all on the table. And an extra characters make them generic heroes. It doesn't matter. There are no extra rules.
Yeah, so just find some way to identify. Because most of them do have special rules. So you'd have to, is the real one, the rest are generic.
On the good side, all of the heroes are named and have a special rule in them. Bard is a really interesting one, actually. He's a hero that adds a shooting attack as well. Yeah, so if he can shoot in a unit that doesn't have missile fire.
And Thorin can only... Thorin
can only issue an order if he's touching a unit. So he can only order... Well, no, he could order a brigade, because he could order that he's touching a unit that is part of that brigade. I think he can. He's got really unique rules. It's like, what? So he's a Command 8 hero, but can only order what he's touching. So that really limits him to what
he has no command range.
Yeah.
No, he can't order any brigade. He can only order...
So he can only one unit. Yeah. Yeah.
but he gives plus three attack. It was quite an interesting like take on the War Master basic rule set and make a box game that's not too expensive. No. It's got a reasonable amount of stuff in there. I think it's relatively replayable.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. So it then goes further with scenarios, as it gives you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 ideas for other scenarios. Only one of them does it ever say any extra rules for the scenario, but it's just like, what else could you do with these models and the scenarios of said, like, of this little universe that is the Hobbit in Lord of the Rings, you know, like of that. And it's cool. And it's like, as for wider army lists, though, the problem would be is that there's only written two army lists, and you know, we didn't do any other models for other races. Cobblestone Miniatures do some 10mm ring stuff.
Yeah, they do.
And so you can get Rohan cavalry, like as in Rohan.
What would they be?
I don't know. But like, there is. So Cobblestone Miniatures are the only other ringsified 10mm stuff I've seen. I mean, obviously, it's Lord of the Rings, so you could always try and then use historical stuff as, you know, standing in for what it is.
Yeah.
But other army lists you'd have to create yourself, you know, because
open
that can of worms to, like, oh, I'm going to make this army list for the army I'm going to use,
which is going to dominate.
Yeah, which is going to, you know, like, how do you ever, like, get it fair? Well, you don't, do you? That's the problem. You know, like,
I want to play Wood Elves.
Yeah, no. You've got to kill your own darlings first. Yeah, it was cool. It was like,
these were Wood Elves, weren't they?
These are Wood Elves in rings. Yeah,
like, in Battle of Five Armies.
Yeah,
I think they were.
They are Wood Elves. Yeah, Wood Elves.
So maybe that's the template we should use. Plus one to hit with no armor.
With no armor, maybe. I mean, but in the discussion of it, no one ever brought it up.
I don't think anyone ever mentioned
like, as a unit of source material, one of Battle of Five Armies. What are the Wood Elves in there? The points for it. I don't remember that ever being brought up in the discussion.
No, it was quite a limited discussion, because like numbers in it. I mean, we started off with like maybe 15 people, or went down to 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just it was what it was.
It was what it was. Yeah.
We had to achieve something. We achieved it.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Now, if you're interested in getting hold of this stuff, it does come up from time to time on eBay.
Yeah, and complete sets as well.
Yeah, and you do sometimes. Christoph picked me one up in a game store in Belgium.
Ostend.
It's
sold on the shelf, wasn't it?
So Christopher Orr does, on the Warmaster trade page, he's got an Excel sheet, I believe, that has price list for everything.
I've used it recently. I've used it to sell a couple of things, you know, because they're like, with the high elves that I've sold recently, I'd want to paint my own high elves.
Right.
You know, like, so, like, I use the price sheets as a guide, basically. It's certainly not a bad thing to have in them. Yeah, if you're selling to someone you don't know, you know, like, then use that as a guide for what it's worth.
Yeah, but I mean, that's all for legit stuff, not recasting. That's a fantastic resource for everybody.
Mm-hmm. So going forward, we'll have another matchup of this. Where we'll
build. I can hear you talk about YouTube, but we can't, because it's not painted.
Like,
you can't do it not painted. It just doesn't look right.
You wouldn't see what anything was.
And unless we go and nick it all off Paul. Have you seen how much stuff Paul's got?
Unbelievable amount of stuff. He could run a tournament.
I heard at last he'd had like 12 boxes of this. It's all painted as well.
Maybe it's something to ask.
It's
him.
Fucking
you know,
nuts.
Like it, we, you know, if we, who knows? You can but ask. But
what was he doing with all the skeletons?
I don't know.
Like, all this was that just vampire counts? I'm going to do like 10,000 points in vampire counts.
No, that was Tomb Kings. What he put up? 10,000 points of painted Tomb Kings.
That's five armies.
It's just.
Yeah, but where do you stop?
I don't know.
You've got 10,000.
I don't know.
It's like these people you see that like they paint a whole. What do you call it where you have a whole, like, army of space marines, but a chapter?
Yeah.
I've painted a whole chapter.
Yeah, like 1,000 marines.
1,000 marines and all the vehicles and titans and stuff. Yeah. Then what do you do?
I don't know.
1,000 space marines? How big is your army, mate?
I don't know. Maybe, I mean, surely in a collection like that, there are things that will never get used on the table.
Well, hundreds of marines. Yeah. Because I watched a game when we were playing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw it next to us. It was playing 40k.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it was, every vehicle was just oversized. And it was just like three vehicles on one side, three vehicles on the other side, and some random fucking chaff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
basically Baneblade Town, isn't it? I've got a Baneblade. When I used to play, like back in the day, you had to ask permission.
Yeah.
Because it was Forge World stuff. So it's alright if you use a Baneblade. Nah, I'd rather you didn't, mate.
No, because it's not a fucking game, is it? Yeah, it's stupid. I do like that in 40K, there are vehicles that are bigger than some weapons' ranges. Like, so this pistol fires this far.
12 cents.
This vehicle is bigger than that pistol can fire. So, hang on. Like, you're telling me that this game system... Like, here's my personal weapon. It doesn't shoot as far
as
the end of that vehicle. I mean, it's not about accurate. It just physically can't go that far.
And it's a laser gun. You'd expect it to have a reasonable amount of trajectory.
It's just funny.
Hey man, you seen those 10mm ogres, man? I gotta get me some of those sweet ass 10mm ogres, man. I could brother up, man, I'm jonesing.
Quit your jibber jabber, fool, and get yourself to blackgateminiatures.com. That's blackgateminiatures.com.
You decided to go to Kit Sterling.
So what I did is I got myself the... I renewed my Forces discount rail card, so that would get the train fares a third off. Then I was like chatting with Jim, like messaging on and off, and it was like... And he's willing to pick me up from Edinburgh.
Said the same for me.
So I was like, okay, cool. And I looked at the flights. So I'm flying from Stansted, you know, to Edinburgh late night on the Friday. It gets in at 10:45. In Edinburgh. He's going to meet me at the airport, and I've got myself into the cheapest hotel in Falkirk.
Well, like DSS?
It's
£14 a night.
Not that cheap. No, it's not a youth hostel, but I don't care what it's got a room, it's got a shower, that'll do. You know, I'm playing in Sterling. I'm really looking forward to it because I wouldn't have done it if it wasn't that many players.
There's a lot of players.
Yeah, I want to go to an event that's got Warmaster event that's got 30 players in it.
And the challenge doesn't win.
Well, the winner has to be. I don't know how they'll decide first amongst equals, because there'll be plenty of people who've won all their games.
He should be carrying a handicap anyway.
Well, hang on, let's talk about it here.
There's only three games.
There's only three games. So 30 people play. So you say 15...
After round one.
Round one. Let's round up. Say they make it easy.
That's 15.
15 win. They play each other.
Eight
win.
Yeah, because you have to round up.
Yeah, they play each other. So four people will win all their games. And then be decided who's first, second, I guess, first, second, third from them. Now, I have to look into the tournament pack. Like, how are they going to make that distinction between who's number one, who's number four?
Well, if you look at the tournament, because two people, at least two people, went 3-0 at Worcester.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I am taking Dark Elves. I'm playing Jim tonight with Dark Elves. I've written a cool Dark Elf list, which is off the list.
Oh, tell us the list. How many can you want? That's all I care about.
See, this is how we're different.
I'm not saying take six. I'm saying you need to take more than two.
So Dark Elf lists.
Don't tell me you're still running with two cold ones.
One!
So the best thing in their list is what?
It's Cold One Knights.
Right.
Now, people play Dark Elves, they just take six Cold One Knights, and they don't care about anything else.
I'd take four.
But I'm just saying, that's what people do.
Well,
not me. You know, like,
not four people.
I haven't got six painted units. I haven't got six units of Cold One Knights.
How many have you got?
Two units of Cold One Knights.
You've got at least take two.
No, I'm taking one. I'm going to try this list out tonight. I want to see what it does.
What are you going to do if you take all the silly fucking light cavern and then they don't use the rule?
They are using the rule.
Are you sure they're using the light cavern?
They're still good.
The light cavern rule isn't even in any books.
They are using it, and they're still really good, even without that rule.
Well, I'm not sure about that.
They're Dark Riders. They're like the best light cavalry going.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Until they get hit in the front by cold ones and they just all evaporate.
Ain't going to happen. Right, so my list is, I'm going to use six units of spearmen. Four units of Crossbowmen. I'll admit, I'd rather have only taken two, but that's the models I have. I'm taking three units of Dark Riders, two repeater crossbows, a unit of Harpies, a Hydra, two units of Witch Elves, one unit of Common Knights, which I'm going to give the banner a standard of shielding to, so they're going to be a three-up armor save unit. I'm going to take a general. I'm going to take a hero, sorceress with a spell scroll because
I've learned,
and I'm going to take a hero and a manticore as well, and that is my list.
Hang on, I've got three characters.
Only three. Yeah.
And where's the scepter?
I don't need it. I don't need it.
Remember this day.
That's points.
Remember this day. June 5th. June 5th.
Yeah.
4:25.
Yeah.
You don't need it.
I don't need it.
I want to know how many times you blunder.
I'm not going to blunder.
You blunder with that hero on a manticore. You see what you do.
Pain.
What are you going to do? You can't kill it.
No, I'm going to take the command death.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you do it again.
No, I'm going to take command. Oh, shit. And then I'm going to kill it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Positive thinking. Ooh. The power of positivity.
I'd love the first order to be a blunder.
Oh, shit.
Got 30 points. And the silly banner of shielding.
Yeah. But point is so, because I'm using the model, it's the models I have.
Well, it's not, because you're not taking the cold ones.
I'm taking one unit.
Two.
Yeah, I've got two.
How many cold Dark Riders do you want in three?
Yeah, three units. Yeah. They're really good. They are really good. They'll be like, shoot.
The only thing I ever remember, because I don't know if it was you or Rodders, like, set them up, 15 away.
Yeah.
I'm going to pepper you, and then you miss. And then you just get initiative charged. It's like, shit. My Chaos Knights have just eaten all of them.
Yeah, fair enough. But it should be fun to try. And if I end up doing well with it, then I've done well with a different build.
Tier 1 army.
A different build.
Tier 1 army.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, after getting my face so thoroughly pushed in with Skaven, I owe it to myself to take something good.
So I love the fact that after, like, however many years this is, like, you're finally giving in and say, I needed a spell scroll.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just need that spell scroll.
Yeah. Like, just save the shaman. Jim is using Lizardman tonight, so that means he's going to have a unit of Pterodons, and if he has a ring of magic, he could magically charge my... He could get to a position where those Pterodons could take on my bolt throws, for example. I need to shut that down.
But in the rear?
Yeah. I just can't have that happen.
But it will happen.
But
it's still happening through the Dispel Scroll.
Like, I'll try. At least make it difficult.
At least make it difficult.
Yeah, like, but, yeah, so... Well,
and the next thing with only this army, I wanted that fucking magic item banned for this army.
What, the...
The 30 points thing. Because it was just, it's lunacy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because not only does it stop you killing your character...
Yeah.
You get to pass the order.
Yeah.
So it's like, hang on. And then you double can still bubble. Carry on rolling. Yeah, yeah. I mean, for double this bubble. Army, it works, like, way better than any other army.
Double bubble.
And for that, 30 points. You can only find 30 points. Oh, sorry.
No, it's like, well, maybe I don't want to crutch myself with the thing that everyone that says you must do.
Yeah.
Crutch myself. That's my crutch. Like... So this is why people like listening to us.
2:25 it was. 2:25, June 5th.
Yeah.
Battle of D-Day.
Yeah.
1 month's time or whenever it should be. You're nearly finished, sorry.
Yeah.
Got to wrap up.
But anyway, I'm really looking forward to Stirling because I just want to see that many people playing Warmaster. And also, I need to bang the drum for London GT.
You do.
And I need to transport your Blackgate miniatures up there, don't I?
Some prize. Oh, so somebody's bought some of them ones coming up. Yes, I can refund the post. And somebody, there's also some prize support for the best painting or whatever. Mm-hmm. And also... I need to pay for your London thing.
Well,
that's on my next on my list.
Yeah, please do. Yeah. So regardless of ticket sales, the Warmaster at London GT is happening.
Janna's Invitational.
Yeah, the Janna's Invitational smashing. but it, obviously, I do not expect to get 30 people, but there is a player base out there to do it. Yeah. So and I've got this big box of prize support here
that I'm just
going to show Barry afterwards. Okay. Yeah.
Next time, we'll be doing a Kislev armory.
Yes, so we've got
with insight from Jim, gent.
Yeah, because Jim knows Kislev. Yeah.
And he said we should play at least one game, one of us proxy.
We should, yeah. And I've got a Kislev army, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
With war.
It's not painted, but it's, that's why it's not down here on the shelves, because it's not painted.
Oh,
but yeah, I've got a Kislev army.
We'll have to do that then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. So we're going to wrap it up there. That was episode 119.
Yep.
Paul and Perry.
Yep.
You can get us at warmuster.podcast@gmail, googlemail.com, just yep. down gmail.com. Or obviously Warmuster Facebook page, Warmuster Podcast Facebook page. We'll try and record in a couple of weeks' time. You're going away for a week up north.
Yes, so part of working all those shifts is, man, that opens up a week in my roster. So, yeah, I'm off to Liverpool next week.
Home of the champions.
Use opportunity. So, Hannah's going to stay up there with the kids.
Yeah.
So, longer than I am. So, we could do it. We could do a late night. We could do an evening podcast.
Oh, good.
Cause, there we go. Yeah, like,
Do it when you get back.
Do it when we come back. And be like, use the time.
Yeah.
Use the opportunity.
So you're going to go and see the Champions League Cup while you're up there? You might as well.
Why not?
They've got six of them, haven't they?
Yeah. Why not? Yeah.
I mean, you could go around the Everton Museum. Look. It's funny, when I go to Anfield, I park in the Everton car park.
Yeah, yeah.
£15 they charge.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, and then you go see Liverpool.
Yeah, well, it's pretty near.
Isn't that, that's a bit not out.
I think
it's
one, maybe it's, what do you mean? You can't park at Anfield, it's being used, isn't it?
Yeah, but... You go past the rival team.
They open up their car parks to get money in. Right,
fair enough.
They've got to fall the wages somewhere. Fucking hell. So it was good. Football was good. The game was shit if you didn't.
The final. I mean, I ended up watching it because.
Did you?
I came in from work and it was on, so we finished.
Second half was better than the first half. The first half was fucking awful.
Why didn't Tottenham play more?
Why didn't Liverpool do anything?
Yeah, like. Apart from. Did they know what they were playing?
Like, it was like watching Bolton.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cardiff.
Did they know what it was?
It was weird. Mm-hmm. Bad game. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we'll see you maybe next week. I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll see. All right, good night.
Would you like to know more?